tonight. Let's get our Bibles out now. Amen. We're going to do a little study here tonight. I know this is December, and you know, it's a very, very busy time of year, and folks are sick, you know, and this and that. But it's a great time to get some truth from the Word of God. You be sure and be here Sunday. Bring somebody with you. You might know somebody that you can bring to church. That'd be a real blessing. You can get visitors come to church easy this time of year. Yep, just a little bit for a few minutes, brother. Amen. We're going to look tonight at Psalm 23, one of the most well-known, memorized, quoted, and depended upon Psalms in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. And I really was hesitant about talking about this tonight because I want to do a series on them. I've done it before many years ago up in Marion. Never done it here. A series of messages on the 23rd Psalm. There's six verses, and we take one Sunday night for 6 weeks and look at each one of those verses. Now, if you ever want a good book to read, and I know people just about quit reading now with the internet out, but get you a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And you can't find it in bookstores nowadays. They quit putting it out. But you can probably find it somewhere. It's a tremendous book about how God deals with us as with sheep. The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I don't even remember the guy's name that wrote it. But I read it many, 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 many years ago and did a study on it. Just absolutely amazing how that God compares us to sheep. It's amazing. You know, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And so, we're like little sheep here tonight. And I want to read the whole psalm, but then I want us to look at verse number 4. Okay? Let's look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One little kid got up, quoted it one night and quoted it wrong and said, "The Lord's my shepherd and that's all I want." And you know, that was wrong, but it was right. And if the Lord's your shepherd, you don't have to want nothing else. And so he said in verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Boy, you can preach on that. A sheep won't lie down unless certain criteria has been met. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." They don't like rushing water. They don't like moving water, waterfalls, stuff like that. Sheep like still water, real slow. Still waters run deep. And verse 3, "He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, this has been used at 10 million people's funeral. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Really, it's not talking about dying, but it's used that way. "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, there are several things I want to point out. And tonight, I want to look at verse 4. Verse 4. As I said, this verse has been used at funerals by the thousands, millions probably. I've used it many times. But technically, it's not really a verse about a person dying. He's talking about walking through a shadow, and you can use it that way. But he's talking about going through a valley. And this is a turning point in the psalm. Sort of the almost a halfway stage. He goes 1, 2, 3 verses, and then 4, 5, 6 verses. Up until now, he's addressing another person. See, David's like this. Watch. David's like this. He's talking to somebody else. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leaves me beside the still waters." He's talking to somebody else. He restores my soul. Then in this verse we're looking at tonight, he turns up and starts talking to God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." He ain't talking to this fella then. He's talking to God. So it's a turning point in this chapter where he takes his conversation from this other person up to the Lord himself. And he said, you know what? He said, thou art with me, and I and thou enter into the conversation. David is saying, what excellent care the shepherd takes of the sheep. Now, to explain this verse tonight, and to get what, if you were looking at it sheep shepherd-wise, there were many shepherds back in those days. And a shepherd would be over a flock of sheep. Like a lot of times we compare the church to a flock of sheep. He's the great shepherd. The pastor, which is me, is supposed to be the under-shepherd, under the great shepherd, and lead the flock of sheep. Now, you know what that shepherd's job was? His job was to lead that flock of sheep. Notice he didn't drive them. He led them. He didn't get behind them and say, all right, go that way. He got in front of them and said, come and follow me. That's why you hear me say a lot, preacher ought not to preach, try to push somebody to do something he won't go himself. Preacher ought to say, hey, I'm going, come follow me. That's what Paul said. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's God's plan. It's God's plan for a church to follow the shepherd as the shepherd follows the great shepherd. That's God's plan. You'll never go wrong that way. I know people that say, well, what if a shepherd leads you wrong? If he does, God will bust his head. And he did in the Bible. And he'll get him, I guarantee it. So tonight, David said this. He said, what I'm saying is, in the summer, the sheep would go into high country. In other words, there were mountains. And on these mountains, there were plateaus, like a big flat place. And he would lead them there like this, and they'd go up under a very high plateau. And it was nice up there, and the grass was about like that, and green. And the shepherd would sit over here like this and watch over his flock. And he'd watched over that flock of sheep to make sure there wasn't no wolves, make sure one of them didn't fall off a cliff, make sure all of them was in there, and he would count sheep. That's where we get counting sheep. Can't sleep, count sheep. That's why I used to tell my girls, I pray for everybody. They say, I can't sleep. I'd say, well, pray for everybody you know. That's like counting sheep. I pray for Brother Jimmy, pray for Kim, pray for Brother Danny and Miss Vicki, and pray for Mr. and Miss Clark, and pray for Miss Desi, and pray for and by the time you get through, you'll be asleep. And that's how you do it. And they went up on the high country. In the winter, they would go down to the low country. Now, think about this. When it was up on the high country, you remember them song says, a higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. They'd go up there and they would feed off of that green grass. Then it would come this time of year, October, November, and that early snow would drive them down that mountain. They couldn't stay up there. The snow would have, so they'd have to get down below the snow line and lose altitude and come down, and they'd get in the lower part of the country in the wintertime. And in the wintertime, when it got back warm, they'd go up. Now, what I want us to look at tonight, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, tonight, I want to talk about that, going through that valley. The last half of the psalm deals with the drive and the movement of the sheep. David was acquainted with the ranges, and he knew how to take his flock where they need to be. And brother, every dark trial that me and you go through, when it's cold in our lives, when we don't know which way to turn, we've got the promise, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Now think about this. You're going through this valley. You know, if you live in the mountains like we do, they call this here in Burke County foothills. and Marion, we're a little bit close, y'all are close to that 181 going up there. I'm sure everybody here has been to the mountains. We went, my sister used to live up on 80 above Marion. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Mount Mitchell by the way of Highway 80, but that's the way we'd go. You go to Marion and you go up Highway 80 and it goes up to a beautiful place called Carolina Hemlock and the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I always, every time I go up through there or at Spruce Pine or anywhere, I always think, how in the world them guys first made this road. The first people made that road. They didn't have modern equipment and big old trucks and bulldozers and big backhoes and stuff. A lot of them roads were cut out by mattocks and shovels and stuff like that. Can you imagine? And you know what them men did? They followed the path of least resistance, and most of the time, if you was going to get from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, you went and found that creek. Because that creek had already found the lowest way down, the easiest way down that mountain would be the way that creek come. And they said, let's just build this road beside this creek. Instead of trying to go straight up, let's just follow the creek. And that's why them mountain roads like that, they'll go by that creek and go all the way up. Now, David called that the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, I'm in the valley, Lord. I'm in the valley. He said, there's a mountain on one side of me. There's mountains on the other side of me. I'm in the valley. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is full of valleys. You meet these people on TV, or you don't meet them, but you hear them, and they give you the impression that you're always up and everything's always great, and it's just glory to God, and we're walking on the devil, and we're up. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, the real Christian life is not like that at all. The real Christian life, you're going to hit valleys. You're going to hit times when you don't know if you're going to make it or not. You're going to hit times when you don't even care if you make it or not. You're going to hit times when you just don't know if you can go another mile. You're going to hit times when you think, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You're going through the valley of the shadow of death. But thank God he looked up and he said, Thou art with me. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're saved, if you've ever been saved, your mama might forsake you, your daddy might forsake you, your sister or brother might not have nothing to do with you, your husband might run off and leave you, your wife may run off and leave you, but he said, Thou art with me. That with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David didn't say, all right, sheep, go on down the valley and I'll see you after a while. He said, I'm with you. I'll lead you. And that's where the Lord is. The Lord's with us. Everybody here, we've all seen that footprints little thing. Footprints where it's on the wall and said, one night a man had a dream and he was walking on the beach and he would come up to a real hard time and he would come through that time and he looked back and there was only one set of footprints and the Lord left him. And he said, Lord, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me? That was the hardest time of my life. One set of footprints. And the Lord looked back at him and he said, the reason there's only one set of footprints is because I was carrying you. I was carrying you. And you know, most of the time when God's carrying you, you don't even realize it. You don't even realize, boy, I've been through times in my life when I look back and I think, Lord, how did I make it through that? And look back, he was carrying me. He was carrying me. And David said, I'm in the valley. I'm in the valley. God is with you. Now, my thought tonight is for somebody here in this church tonight. Somebody here tonight's in a valley. Somebody here tonight's in a bad marriage. Somebody here tonight is in a bad work situation. Somebody here tonight has had your heart broke. And you're here and you're thinking, how am I going to make it? Look what he said. He said, Thou art with me. I'm telling you, that song says, even in the valley, God is good. You'd better off in the valley with God than sitting on top of the world without Him. Amen? Lord have mercy, I'm about to shout here this evening. David was acquainted with this country and he knew how to get from one. He already knew where they was going. He knew the top and the bottom. Them little sheep is scared to death. There's a mountain. We're going to starve to death. David said, don't worry about it. I've been here. I've done been through this valley. I know where we're going. My soul, y'all. That the Lord, sometimes we think, Lord, I'm not going to make it. The future looks bleak. God, this has went wrong. That's went wrong. And God's saying, I've done been here. I've went from one end to the other. I know everything. It's going, I'm leading you. I'm God. Listen, all you got to do is follow Him. That's all you got to do. You don't have to figure out your problems. All you got to do is get up every day and follow Him. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's all you have to do. You know what you got to do? You don't have to say, well, now how am I going to get my bills paid? And how? All you do is follow Him. You get up every day and work hard and do right and serve God. He'll lead you through, glory to God. I'm telling you what, Lord, I'd like to have T.D. Jakes here just about 15 minutes to preach on that for us. He can do stuff like that. He's good at it. And I'm talking about all I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You know what you got to do? You don't have to figure out everything. You just got to follow. You follow Him. He didn't say figure. He said follow. He didn't say, some of you ladies, you're awful bad saying, well, I just can't understand how we're going to get our bills paid and how we're going to make. You just chill out and follow your husband, follow God. You'll be all right. Amen? You follow the Lord. But what if this happened? Don't worry about it. He already knows what's going to happen. All you got to worry about are you following Him today, right now. You can't do nothing about yesterday. It's gone. Can't do nothing about tomorrow. It ain't got here yet. All you got to do, follow Him today. Amen? Don't that make it simple? We want to worry. Lord have mercy. I know people every time they say, well, I just don't know. What if we can't afford it? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Well, what if it does? What if my car tires up? It probably will. You know, he's worrying about it. I mean, sooner or later it will. Everything does. All you got to do is follow. Follow. Now, let's talk about the valley here just a minute. There's three things I want to say about the valley, and I want to talk about some other stuff, but I'm not sure we'll have time. Three things I want to say about the valley. If you're in the valley here tonight, number one, the valley is the best route to the mountaintop. We talk about going on higher ground. We talk about having a mountaintop experience. Most people err on how to get there. You know how to get to the mountain? Through the valley. You don't stop there. You don't die there. You go through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, I got in the valley of the shadow of death and gave up. He didn't say, I got in the valley of the shadow of death and fell over and died. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death and said, I can't take it no more, and went back out and sinned. He didn't say it. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. There's one thing about a valley. I've heard preachers say it. They write songs about it. I'm going to tell you some good news about a valley. If you're in the valley, there's got to be a mountain on both sides. There's a mountain coming up. You cannot have a valley without a mountain on both sides. And I've heard people say, who was it I heard? Somebody sent me a text. They don't go to our church down here near Charlotte somewhere. And a lady sent me a text this morning and said, preacher, please pray for me. She said, I was on fire for God for 20 years. And she said, I want to serve God, but my heart's cold and it's stony. She said, I go out to Walmart every year and witness and sing. She said, I don't even want to this year. And you know what she needs to do? She needs to just walk through that valley and keep right on doing what she knows is right. There's got to be a mountain on the other side. How many of you ever been down and something bad will happen and then something else bad happens and then this tires up? And then something goes wrong at home. And you know the old saying, when it rains, it pours. And just one thing after another happened, after another happened. Let me say something to you tonight. You keep walking. You just keep walking. There's got to be a, a mountain coming up in your life. There's got to be. You cannot be in a valley unless there's a mountain up ahead. Amen. It's impossible. There's a mountain. Cheer up, child of God. I mean, look up. Shout to victory. Walk through the valley. Don't quit while you're in the valley. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It may take a year or two. It may take a couple of years. But you keep walking through that valley that you're in tonight. It's the best route to the mountaintop. Don't stop there. Don't die there. Walk through the valley. Number two. Let me remind you of this. The valley is a well-watered route. That's where the water is. It's refreshing. There's springs. We learn that in the valleys of our life, if truth is known, if some of you will admit it tonight, I will. I hate hurting. I hate suffering. I hate it when my heart's broke. I hate it when I'm in the valley. But if the truth is known, you look back in your life and some of the biggest blessings you ever got from the Word of God and the most refreshing times you ever had, just you and God, was when you were smack in the middle of the valley. You wasn't on the mountaintop. You wasn't on the mountaintop. I can look back over my life and I've been on a lot of mountaintops. But if you told me right now, Danny, when did you grow more? When did you learn more? When did God do a work in your heart more? I would point back to the hardest, roughest times that I've ever went through in my life. That's when I grew. And that's when I learned lessons that I couldn't learn any other way. And that's when, listen, I preached a series of sermons called Born in the Fire. And I preached on the worst thing is the best thing. Failure is not final with the Father. Some of them sermons went all over the country and people used them and everything. And you know how I got them? I didn't get them when I was shouting in a camp meeting somewhere. I got them when I was laying on my face, crying my eyes out, not knowing which way to turn, or how I was going to make it, or how I was going to pay my bills. That's when the valley is the well-watered route. Amen. You might be in the valley tonight, but don't just quit and start feeling sorry for yourself. Get your Bible out and start reading it. And buddy, them words will jump off them pages and jump in your heart. Just think about those times when you were really down. I mean, really down. And you opened your Bible and it was more real to you than any time ever. That water, that's refreshing, buddy. That's refreshing. The Word of God will be more real to you than any other time. Sometimes we sing that song, "Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing." You know how God make you a blessing? Put you down in that valley, buddy. Water's running the ditch. Water's running the valley. You want to be blessing to others? You know how you're blessing to others? You know how you can help somebody with a broken heart? You've had a broken heart. You know how to bless somebody at the funeral home when they're a lost loved one? You've lost a loved one. You know how to be a blessing to somebody that's got bad news from a doctor? You've had bad news from a doctor. And I'm telling you, I preached a funeral the other day, somewhere, up in Old Fort. And I was talking about somebody dying. I preached 1 week before last. A young man, only 40 years old, just turned 41, died over here in jail. And I told him, I said, my sister died when she was 40. Now, when my sister died when she was 40, it hurt. It hurt me and it hurt our family. But I was able to comfort these people. I was able to say, hey, I got some water in my valley, and I'm able to give you a drink of water that I got in the valley. If I'd have been on, listen, if you stayed on the mountaintop and everything was just great, and you never had a problem, and you never got sick, and you never had a fuss with your mates, and you never had a bill that got past due, and your car never tore up, and you was in perfect health all the time, you wouldn't be worth shooting. You wouldn't pray. You wouldn't care about people. You know what makes you care about people? Brother, when you get down. And then you can say, hey, I know how it feels. I know what it's like. Your heart goes, you can help people. You can give them a good drink if you've been there yourself. I don't like it, but going through them valleys, you can, it's the well-watered route. You know who can help somebody with a broken heart? Somebody's had a broken heart. That's right. And then one more thing about the valley. It is the richest food is found there. The choice meadows. The steep canyons on both sides. storms, ice, water melts, comes down the side of the mountain, pretty grass grows right there near the water. Have you ever wondered why you go up in the mountains and all these people used to build a house side water? I mean, years ago, people didn't want a house up on the mountain. You know why? There wasn't no water to drink up there. They got down there, they couldn't, before they started drilling wells 500-600 feet deep, people wanted to, you go up in these countries up toward Lenore and Wilkesboro, everybody built them old houses near the creek. They wanted water. You can grow a better garden up there where the water comes in and raise better fruit. Now, we don't have much time to do it, but I want to look just a second at the second half of that verse. He said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Doesn't talk about that. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, in the Middle East, and still today, shepherds carried only a rod and a staff. They lived on bare necessities. Equipment, common, universal equipment of a shepherd is a rod and a staff. Every shepherd boy takes special pride in the rod and selecting the rod and staff. They spend hours practicing with it. And they can use it with amazing speed and accuracy. They even had competitions in some bar. Those shepherd boys would learn how to throw that staff and use that rod. Now, there's a bunch of reasons for the rod. The rod is a picture of the Word of God. The rod, shepherd's rod in the Bible, is a picture of the Word of God. It did three things. It comforts the sheep, it disciplines the sheep, and then it examines the sheep. It comforts the sheep. Now, you know how it comforts sheep? Moses, when he's over there in Egypt, and they got all tore up and everything, what are we going to do? He'd hold up that rod. And buddy, when he'd hold up that rod, they'd say, boy, the Lord's in that thing. We're going to go. And it parted the waters, and every time he'd do something with that rod, that rod was used to comfort them. That's the Word of God. Amen. God's Word will comfort you. If you're in a valley here tonight, if you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you get these Psalms out, Proverbs out, read the book of Job, read Matthew, read where Jesus was crucified, read where they killed Him, they mocked Him, they made fun of Him. Listen, if you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, the rod of God's Word will comfort you. He'll comfort you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, when you're hurting and you're going through a real valley in your life, when you open them Psalms, it's almost like whoever wrote that knows exactly what I'm feeling. You ever thought like that? You ever thought, Lord, in mercy, David felt like I felt. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And those words help you. It'll help y'all. It'll help you. The Word of God will. Now, discipline. They could hurl them rods and knock a sheep's brains out if that sheep was wayward. If a sheep was getting towards some poisonous weeds, that shepherd would take that rod and go, pow, pop him back in line. That'll preach, won't it? Old sheep, stupid sheep, they don't know. They don't know poison oak from kudzu. And they wander off over here and wander off over here, wander off over here, and they see that, and they think, well, that looks good. I think I'm going to eat it. Bam! That shepherd hits them in the head with that rod. That's why some of you wander off, come in on Sunday morning, I take the Word of God, wham! It hits you over the head with it. That ever happened to you? Thy rod and thy staff, it's used to keep you in line. Matter of fact, the easiest and best whipping you ever got from God is just taking it from the Word of God. Have you ever had some sin in your life and said, well, I need to read my Bible, and just open up, bam, it hits you just like that. And whatever your sin is, you just hit it right on target. But that's what that rod will do. That's what the rod will do. I've had people come up to me bunches of times, and they'll come up to me and say, all right, Brother Danny, who told you? I told me what I've been doing. I wouldn't even know it if you hadn't told me. The Word of God knew it. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Bible, when a man preaches the Bible, it gets everybody. It gets everybody. It covers everything. And the Word of God will talk to your heart, y'all. And that shepherd, he'd take that rod, and that sheep might have thought he'd been mean. But he said, nope, pow, it'll kill you. By the way, can I say this? I wish all the teenagers in here, I'd like them to hear this. Can I say this? When God says something's wrong and He hits you in the Word of God, He's not trying to be mean. He's trying to keep us away from stuff that'll kill us. Spiritually and physically. And we work rock music, drugs, alcohol. All right, you start taking a drink of alcohol, wham! Start taking a drink of something, whiskey, beer, bam! Smoke pot, bam! You know what? The rod of God is there to correct you. It'll correct you. You know why a lot of people's in jail right now? They didn't have no shepherd. They was just an old lost goat running around and wound up in prison. You know why a lot of people's in a premature grave? They would not listen when the rod come down on them. If God's taking His rod to you to correct you of something, you better listen to Him. Amen? That's right. God sends a warning. If you don't listen to the warning, He'll take that rod like that and just sort of push you away from whatever hurts you. And if you don't listen, He'll pop you over the head with it. And sometimes sheep wouldn't listen and would fall off a cliff, break their legs, and sometimes even death when they wouldn't listen. Then the third thing that the shepherd done with the rod would be to examine and count the sheep. There's an interesting verse in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, that talks about passing under the rod. And it's a first-hand examination. And they said that when the sheep would come in at night, they'd have a sheep fold, and it's all out here eating grass all day long, and the shepherd would hold his rod. And they'd count in, there's one, there's two, there's three. They passed under that rod. And He used it to examine them. Listen to this. He used that rod to examine them. To detect a disease or wounds. An inferior animal, sheep, they'd get sores on them. Or they'd get disease or a wound. And He'd take that rod and part that wool and say, oh, you got a bad sore there. He needs some medicine. Anoint that with oil. Put the Holy Spirit in there and bind that up. He got out and got himself in trouble. He's got out and got in sin. And the Word of God would, the rod would minister to that hurt. Ain't you glad God's Word will do that to us? Ain't you glad God's Word opens up, pulls back the wool? You see, somebody said, that they'd have, used to have these, what they call a sheep show. And a sheep show was where they'd come in and they'd have all these sheep and they looked real good and everything. But a sheep with something bad wrong with it would pass through undetected. But the skilled shepherd would take that rod and part that wool and say, that one's got a problem. I'm fixing to show you something here. A sheep show. Imagine, you come out here and all these sheep, they all look fine. Man, that's a fine flock of sheep. I'll buy that one, buy that one. I'll give you so much money for that and all that. But the smart judge would take that word and he'd peel that wool back and say, there's something wrong with that. That one's got a disease. That one's got something bad wrong with it. Sheep show. You know what most churches are on Sunday morning? Sheep show. I'd preach, won't it? Let's have our sheep show. All the sheep come in on Sunday morning. But the skilled shepherd will take that word and go, phoom, phoom. See, y'all look, everybody looks good in here on Sunday morning. Y'all got, we have a pretty good little sheep show here on Sunday morning. We got some goats that come and they're welcome. That one day they may become sheep. But we got a sheep show. And you know what? The shepherd takes this word, the rod of God, and parts that wool and looks inside that wool. In other words, quote, you don't just pull wool over his eyes. It's funny how them old sayings come from, ain't it? Where'd that saying come from? Pull the wool over his eyes. That's a weird thing to say. You know, when you're trying to deceive somebody, they say, well, you're going to pull the wool over his eyes. That's a weird thing to say. Where'd that come from? them sheep try to pass through and think, he'll never know. I've got that all fixed up on the outside. He'll never know I got a big sore or cancer or something right there. But that shepherd take that rod and, oh, stop it right there, buddy. You got something bad wrong with you. And buddy, that's why it's important. That's why it is important that you go to a church where this word is preached faithfully. Because it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll hit, listen, you go to a Bible preaching church, I don't care what you're doing wrong, it'll get hit sooner or later and discovered, and probably won't take two or three Sundays. And the priest, so I've heard people say, I don't want to go down there. Every time I go down there, he's preaching to me. He's helping you find those sores and those diseases. And you can go to a sheep show. There's plenty of them around here. And you can pass off as perfect and hide that sin. But if you're in real preaching, they'll take that rod and say, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. That's what he did with that rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know something? All right, I'm going to stop right there. Anybody got a comment or an addition to what I've said here tonight? There's a lot of stuff about sheep and the shepherd in the Bible. We're going to go through it sometime, maybe soon. Anybody? All right? We're going to take a minute here and think this. Has God took His Word and pointed at something in your life? Has the shepherd took the Word, the rod, and just went, boom, that needs to go. Boom, that needs to change.